I can't tell you how many, many times I've stood in this pulpit and have a message from God and wonder, why now did God give this message? Why this hour? Now, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll begin reading at verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. In the light of the things that have transpired with you these past few days, as I prepared this message, knowing what was coming up tonight in the message, I can't help but to be convinced God has given a very special message for this particular time. Ephesians 5:15. See then that you walk circumspectly. Behave like you ought to. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time. Buying up the opportunity before you. Because the days are evil. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Every day of life in this world is full of evil. Every day. Every day. Many evil things accompany us day by day. Excuse me. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Then in verse 18, the apostle tells us what the will of the Lord is. It is the will of the Lord that you and I, who are His, should trust His Son, that we should constantly live in this world looking to Christ, leaning on Christ, trusting Christ, seeking the honor of Christ, serving Christ, that we be filled with the Spirit, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Let your life be constantly ruled by the Spirit of God in you. Then he tells us in very plain, simple terms what's involved in this new life that's given us in Christ Jesus. He tells us what it is to live for Christ, to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit. What is this thing called Christianity? What is it that really separates the believer from the unbeliever? The believer from the mere religious person? How do believers differ from others? Verses 19, 20, and 21 give us three things specifically involved in this new life God gives to chosen redeemed sinners in Jesus Christ. Here are three things by which true Christianity may be always identified. Redemption and grace experienced in the heart puts a song of praise in the heart to God. Look at verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Grace experienced in the soul puts a song in the heart. The experience of salvation inspires in everyone who has experienced it and everyone who continues experiencing it praise to God Almighty from the heart. I find it interesting that the very next thing that happened after Moses and the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, Moses led the congregation in singing a song of praise to God and the Lamb. And that song of praise, we're told, will be the song of God's saints in heaven. Those who experience grace have in their hearts a melody, a song of praise to God. Hold your hands here and turn back to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I was in a deep, deep, dark, dark pit. And he brought me out. And he set my feet upon a rock. He established my life. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. All right, look back here in our text, Ephesians 5, verse 20. Here's the second thing. Salvation known and experienced in the heart causes saved sinners to give thanks to God. Not just to say thank you, but to live giving thanks to God. Salvation known and experienced in the heart causes saved sinners to live giving thanks to God. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 21. Here's the third thing. The grace of God to bring salvation causes saved sinners to submit themselves to one another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now those are things totally contrary to nature. Totally contrary to humanity. So, but preacher, everybody sings, folks sing to pretend that they're happy. Believers sing because they are. Folks sing trying to make themselves happy. Believers sing because they are. Folks sing and make a lot of noise trying to cover up the pain. Believers sing because they rejoice in the Lord. Believers are men and women who give thanks to God continually. They live in relentless thanksgiving. You mean, Brother Don, you don't ever have any sorrow? Oh, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. You don't ever have any pain? I didn't suggest that. You don't ever weep? I didn't suggest that. Believers live continually giving thanks to God and thankful to God even for those things that cause the pain and the sorrow and the tears. And believers are men and women who submit themselves to others willingly. We are happiest when we do so. We're happiest when we do so. We make ourselves miserable when we insist on having our own way and make everybody miserable around us. We make ourselves miserable and say, I'm going to do what I want to. I'm not going to pay any attention. I'll do what I want to. You make yourself miserable, make everybody else miserable. Believers, in God's good grace, are compelled by grace, and they want to bow their will to the other, to bow their decisions to the other, to bow their wants to the other, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now that's enough if we could just get what I've said thus far and God write it on our hearts. That'd been worth the effort to be here. But I want us to focus our attention, our minds, and our hearts on this statement given in verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. giving thanks. I can't imagine a subject more important, more practical, or more desirable. I can't imagine a subject more delightful. I can't imagine a subject that if indeed we learn that which we are here commanded to do, if we learn to obey that which is here commanded of us in Scripture, if we learn from our hearts to give thanks to God, nothing will be of more benefit to your soul or make you more beneficial to another. If you want to worship God, give thanks. If you want to honor God, give thanks. If you want to serve God, give thanks. If you want to help others, give thanks. If you want to quit grumbling, give thanks. If you'd like to quit hurting other people, give thanks. If you want to overcome depression, give thanks. If you want to stop feeling sorry for yourself, give thanks. If you want to be useful to others, give thanks. If you want to benefit the lives of others, give thanks. Giving thanks is always in season. Giving thanks is always good. Giving thanks is always beneficial. We can't always be singing with our lips, but there should always be a song in our hearts. If we must, of necessity, pause from outward expressions of praise, we ought never refrain from inwardly giving thanks to God. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I read just a little bit today about James Montgomery. He lived very close to where Shelby and I were just visiting, Ballymoney, North Ireland. And he didn't really have much in life to make him a real happy man. He wrote these words, "O thou my light, my life, my joy, my glory and my all, unsent by thee no good can come, nor evil can befall. Such are thy schemes of providence and methods of thy grace, that I may safely trust in thee through all this wilderness. 'Tis thine outstretched and powerful arm upholds me in the way, and thy rich bounty well supplies the wants of every day. For such compassions, O my God, 10,000 thanks are due. For such compassions, I esteem 10,000 thanks too few. For such goodness, mercy, and grace as we daily experience at the hand of our God, 10,000 thanks a day are too few. Our lives ought to be anointed with this precious oil of thanksgiving. If our hearts grow cold, we should warm them with the fire of gratitude. It is the duty of all men to give thanks to God." Some years ago, I can't remember where I read it, but I read a statement Mr. Spurgeon made when preaching on this subject of thanksgiving. He said, if you look at a little bird, just drink a little water out of a puddle, it raises its head to give thanks to God. It can't take the swallow without raising its head as if to give thanks to God. Oh, how thankful we ought always to be who know God and His grace in Jesus Christ our Lord. For you and I who have experienced God's salvation, this is a duty, but it's more than a duty. It is our privilege. Oh, God, what a privilege to be always giving thanks. My God, if you will enable me always to be giving thanks, take from me anything you wish, anything you will, and teach me always to be giving thanks to you. Take from me anything that keeps me from giving thanks to you. Behold the wondrous love and grace of God in Christ. You and I, who are God's, have every imaginable reason for giving thanks to Him and being a thankful people. Now let's look at our text, word by word. I said thanksgiving is our duty, but it is a duty that can never be forced by law. You just can't take a whip and make fellas happy. You can't punish folks and make them happy. You can't threaten them and make them happy. You can't force thanksgiving by law. This commandment, giving thanks always to God and the Father by our Lord Jesus Christ, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, is a duty that can be forced only by the experience of grace. It arises from a heart overflowing by the mercy, love, and grace of God in Christ Jesus. What is it we're commanded to do? Give thanks. Give thanks. Thanksgiving. How can I describe it? It is an emotion. An emotion of gratitude. It's an expression by song or speech or just by a look, which means far more than words can say, or by some other methods. Thanksgiving is something that you sense and you feel and you know. If somebody's thankful for you, you just know it. They don't have to say anything. They may just look at you. Thanksgiving is an emotion better felt than expressed. Better felt than stated. And it's something that is that can only be known as it is felt. It is the joyful celebration of God's great goodness. That's thanksgiving. We're to give thanks in our hearts, giving gratitude to God for all that He is and all that He does, all that He does with us, all that He does for us, all that He does, if I can use the word, to us. For that which God does to us, He does for us. We're bound to show this gratitude. And the best way to show gratitude is with obedience. The angels of God, when they give praise to Him, sing hallelujah, hallelujah, doing His commandments, hearkening to the voice of the Lord. To perform our sometimes tiresome, laborious duties cheerfully is giving thanks to God. I don't often wake up before Shelby does. She's usually up and getting coffee, bringing it to me in bed about the time I wake up. Once in a while, I wake up before she does. And I can't tell you how delightful it is for me to just lean over and I'll look at her for a minute and she'll open her eyes and a beaming smile. And I won't tell you what she says. you'll have to find that out later. Oh, it just makes my day. It just makes my day. But all through the day, toiling continually. Sometimes we seldom get to talk. Toiling all the time until time to go to bed. Because that woman loves me and is thankful for me. And for some strange, astonishing reason, she's thankful to me. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And you can't show gratitude better than by obedience. The thanksgiving is not only something that's right, but thanksgiving is something that believers can and should express to God all the time. You bear pain and sickness patiently because it's God's will. That's giving thanks. You sympathize with the suffering saints because of the love of Christ in you and in them. That's giving thanks. You love the cause of God and you defend that cause for Christ's sake. That's giving thanks. It's a small thing for us to give our poor thanks to God. But it is something that all of us can do. It's something the poorest, weakest, least gifted believer can do. He can give thanks. He can give thanks. The smoking flax may not be able to do much, but it can be thanks. Give thanks that it's not quenched. The bruised reed may not have any strength, but it can give thanks it's not broken. Even the speechless mute can just with the look of his eye give thanks to God. Giving thanks. That's what he tells us to do. When? Look at the text. Always. Always. The psalmist said, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. We should give thanks to our God always, all the time, in all circumstances, for all things. The days of our lives should be full of praise to God. I'm not talking now about pretense praise. I can't stand fake anything. I just don't like fake things. And I don't want to be a fake. I'm not talking about putting on a happy face. I'm talking about thanksgiving, real thanksgiving. The believing heart should always be full of gratitude. No, Merle, I'll take that back. The believing heart always is full of gratitude. It is only the evil heart of unbelief that is not. The believing heart is full of gratitude to God. The believing heart bows to Him in all things. My lips may not always be able to sing, but the heart of faith can. When we awake in the morning, we ought to awaken with thanksgiving to our God, full of praise for the dawn of another day God's given us. I wonder what God will do today. Oh, God, give me grace to wake up that way every morning. And when we lie down at night, our hearts ought to have this last thought, gratitude to God for mercies throughout the day. When we eat our bread, we ought to eat our bread with thanksgiving. At our house, anytime we have a meal, we bow and have prayer. Sadly, the words too often, and I'm the one who does the praying audibly, are just words. But the fact is, I haven't taken a drink of anything or eaten a piece of bread or a candy kiss in 50 years without thanksgiving to God. It is He who by His hand feeds me, body and soul, all the time. In days of youth, teach your children to give thanks for the goodness of God to them. Somehow, I wish I could instill in every one of your children thanksgiving to God for the privilege of being raised by godly mother and father in the house of God. It's strong men and women in the midst of life. Give thanks to God for those household joys you enjoy, for the blessings of God's loving kindness. And for those of us who, like golden grain now with age, bow our heads like ripened fruits, God's saints ought to constantly give thanks to Him. Now look what he says. This is God's word, not mine. Why should we give thanks for all things. For all things. This is where true religion is separated from carnal religion. This is where the precious is separated from the vile. It's very easy for me to stand here and tell you to give thanks in all things and for all things. But I've not always found it easy to practice what I preach. I confess that to my shame. But this is the rule God gives us here. Giving thanks always for all things. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. How come? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This, right now, whatever it is that lays so heavy on your soul, whatever it is that breaks your heart, whatever it is that causes all kinds of concern in your mind, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, if you're His. Bill Raleigh, that which you have experienced to this moment, and that which you will experience from every moment forward, this is God's will concerning you. If it weren't, it wouldn't happen. You got that? This is God's will concerning you. Whatever it is, that means it's the best thing possible. I mean, things just could not be better. I mean, God could not do better for you than He is doing for you right now. God could not do better for me than He has done. Than He is doing, than He shall do. Now, what was it I ought to be grumbling about? What was that thing I was griping about yesterday? Why was I murmuring this morning? God could not do better than He has done, is doing, and shall do for me. We should give thanks like Job in times of adversity, when health and family and wealth and friends have all forsaken us. Give thanks in times of temptation and trial, because God's grace is sufficient still. He's still the rock of our salvation. I told Mark and me back in the office, he read to us from James chapter 3. I asked Shelby earlier this morning or this afternoon. I've been trying to remember all day, what was it Mark read for Sunday night? He got up here and said, Brother Don always has told us many times, thanksgiving is always in season. What did he? James chapter 1. That was it. That was it. Giving thanks for what? All the trials, all the temptations, all the troubles by which God teaches you to cast all your care on Him who cares for you. We're to give thanks to God for all things, because this is God's will, and God's will is good. Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? Job asked the question of his wife, and every time I hear it, as I read the book of Job, or even think about it, I try my best to hear it spoken to me. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord? And shall we not receive evil? Give thanks to God, for it is He who gives us life and being and strength every day. Give thanks to God. It is His hand that preserves and upholds us. Give thanks to God, for every blessing of grace flows to us from our God in His infinite goodness and mercy in Christ Jesus. God Almighty, before the world was, loved me. and arranged all the history of the universe accordingly. Everything. Before the world was, God accepted me in His Son. God justified me. God sanctified me. God made me righteous. God redeemed me. God saved me. And God gave me every blessing of grace in Christ Jesus before the world was, as His Son. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. In the fullness of time, God sent His Son to redeem me with His precious blood. He called me by His Spirit, gave me life and faith in His Son, sealing to me all these blessings, declaring in my soul, salvation is yours. You're righteous. You're accepted with God. You please God. I'm yours and you're mine forever. And God has been pleased to give me the blessed, hopeful anticipation of everlasting glory with Christ the Lord. When Lindsay came in this evening and sat down, I knew that Mrs. Blake, Diane's mom, was about 91 or 92. I was really surprised when I read this morning she's 94 years old. And I'll tell you the first thing I thought, she's not old anymore. Not anymore. Not anymore. I live in the constant expectation of life like we can't begin to imagine. You ever roll over in your mind those words of the apostle, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which the Lord has prepared for them that love Him? But God's revealed them to us by His Spirit. Let me tell you what that means. I know exactly what that means. We know the fact of it. We know what God's promised. I'm going to be like Christ. I'm going to see as He sees, know as He knows, think as He thinks, see all things through His eyes. Those facts. I'm going to be transformed to His image. That's fact. I'm going to be raised up in glory. That's a fact. God's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. There'll be no more sorrow, pain, sickness, death, any of those things. The former things have passed away. Those are all facts. And Brother Claus, I ain't got a clue what I just said. It's never entered into my mind or my heart what those things mean. They're beyond imagination, beyond description. Oh, but this is the life we anticipate as we walk before our God, giving thanks always and for all things. Give thanks unto God for the Lord Jesus, His unspeakable gift. For in that one gift, all gifts are included. Give thanks to God for His providence, for His rule of the world. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessing on your head. Do you know who wrote that hymn? A fellow by the name of William Cowper. William Cowper was brilliant, talented, wealthy. He had everything possible going for him, except one thing. All his life, he suffered horribly with depression. Horribly. John Newton, his pastor, would go administer shock treatments to Cowper back in the days when you crank up that grinder and shock a fella. And Cowper was institutionalized even after God saved him, was institutionalized. He couldn't stand to go out into public worship services. He just couldn't take it. If I were his pastor, I'd have probably chewed him out several times. But Newton was gracious and kind. Cowper understood He understood in his soul the conflict he experienced. And one time when he was determined to end his own life, God prevented it. And he came back to his little room and old, and he wrote those words. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind the frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. I want to live before God like John Bradford lived and died before Queen Mary, that saint and martyr who was reviled and put to death as a rebel, said with regard to Queen Mary, I have no quarrel with the Queen. If she released me, I'll thank her. If she imprisoned me, I will thank her. If she burned me, I will thank her. Oh, my God, teach me. Teach me as only you can to have no quarrel with you, but only thanks in everything. My Father, through the name, through the blood and righteousness of my mediator, my surety, the Lord Jesus Christ. Augustine tells us that the early saints, when they met, would never part company without saying Deo gratias, that is, thanks be to God. Write it on my heart, giving thanks always and for all things to God and our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I promise you, life will be indescribably sweeter. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. In everything, give thanks. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, and it will, as you rejoice and give thanks unto God. Amen.